We've been talking about hearing God and how it relates to us and what's on our mind and heart. And I love what he said in this piece. God wants to speak to you about what's on his heart. God wants to speak to us what's on his heart. How many of you have gotten an invitation to something in the past? All of us. An invitation to a wedding, an invitation to a graduation, an invitation to a birthday party, a dinner party, an invitation that said RSVP, want to know if you're coming, right? If you're not coming, RSVP, if you are, you know, let us know that you're coming. Listen, when you got that invitation, what did you do? You heard from that person, and that person was inviting you. You heard a word. There's something great going on. There's something wonderful going on in our lives. It may be the anniversary or the 50th anniversary, but there's something great going on, and you're hearing from this person, and that person is really inviting you to be a part of what's going on in their family. Whether it is a birthday, whether it is a wedding, whether it is an anniversary, or whether it's just a celebration for a housewarming, whatever that was, that person was speaking to you through that invitation to says, come be a part of our lives. What I want to say to us today, what I just is on my heart, when we think about a whisper, which is just really a metaphor, right? That's what this is. It's a metaphor of God speaking. It's a metaphor of God speaking into our lives. And what I want to suggest to us today, from this time on out, that whenever you hear God, whenever you hear that whisper, that prompting, it's an invitation to Him. It's an invitation. Hearing God's an invitation. In Scripture, in Luke chapter, Luke 14, turn there for just a moment. Luke chapter 14. And in verse 7, notice, he began speaking a parable. Luke 14, verse 7. A parable to the invited guests. Well, I'm sorry, that's not it. Verse 16. But he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason, I can't come. And the slave came back and reported to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes and cities and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. And the slave said, master, what you've commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Listen, when God speaks, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. In our study on Sunday evenings, we've spoken of God whispering words of assurance or admonition or action, whispers that come to encourage us, whispers that come to correct us, whispers that come to give us direction in life. Words, promptings from God. And what I want to say to you, and what I want to say to us today, that those words are absolute, total invitations for you to participate in what God is doing. Let me give you just a thought here about that. Let's say that you are really, really burdened. Let's say that you are really, really worried. You are laid down with burden. You are struggling hard, and you need a word from God. You're wanting a word. You're wanting God to come and to encourage you. And he does. He speaks something. I turn to Matthew. Keep your place here in Luke and go to Matthew chapter 11 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 11. And notice what he says in verse 28. Notice, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, verse 29, and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when I'm heavy, laid down with stuff, when I'm burdened, and God comes along and gives us a whisper to encourage us that he's here or that he is moving in our lives, it's really an invitation to him who takes the load off, who gives you the peace that you need. Or you're worried about finances, or you're worried about stuff, and you just need a word from him. And he says, listen, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's an invitation to the kingdom of God, first and foremost. Or maybe you're afraid, and there's fear, and yet God comes along and says, listen, come to me as a refuge. And then I'll share words of life to you. See, it's not just hearing a word. It's coming to the Savior. It's moving to him and all that he is. That's first. That's foremost. Let's not miss that. And then in his presence, he'll speak. Hearing God is an invitation to him. And we do that. We hear those words from him on an individual basis. But I want to say that we also hear from him in a corporate way. Again, these things that we've talked about for just a moment is just things that are on our mind, the things we're worried about, the things that we're struggling with. And sometimes I think we can become so narcissistic in that. Where's my peace? Where's my word? Huh? Where's God going to meet my need? It can become really, really all about us. When in the grand scheme of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is really seeking about what is on his mind and his heart. And it moves from just our selfish world or just the way I want to feel or I want to be comfortable with things to something that will propel us, that will maybe not make us very comfortable because God's asking us to do some things that we're uncomfortable with. That's what you're going to be looking at tonight. Please go. There are things that God speaks to us that moves us to places of discomfort. That moves us to places that we really, really, really need to depend on our God. And he does that. He does that individually. He does that corporately. Listen, we've talked about words of assurance and admonition, and we've also talked of words of action, but I want to talk to you today about words of assignment. Words of assignment. You know that God gives you assignments in this world? He does. And it can be something very small in our minds or something very grand in our minds, but it's all the same to God. Different stages of our lives, different assignments. Assignments that God has spoken to and invited you to become a part of his kingdom, of his life, of what he's doing. It's the invitation to see the kingdom of God expanding in your life, but also in the life of individuals, expanding in the life of groups of people, of even nations that God invites us to, that God has invited us to, and we have said yes to, corporately. Turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew 28. We know this as the Great Commission. I'm going to talk to you about it being the Great Assignment, because that's what it is. You know, when I think about the commission, a great commission, we always have this idea of just the missionary that goes way out there to do the work, right? But when I think about it as assignment, kind of a little different, it's still a commission, but it's right where I'm at, where God wants to speak to me and speak into the needs of other folks. And, you know, as much as we talk about missions around here, we hardly ever use this verse, don't we? I mean, we hardly ever do. But it's there. It's one of the last words that Jesus, it is the last words that Jesus says to his disciples. What he says in verse 16, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. As you go, therefore, you go to make disciples of all nations, and you baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Luke said it something like this in Acts chapter 1:8, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be witnesses, where? Right there in Jerusalem, right there at home. right over in Judea, which is a little bit, you know, it's kind of like from home to the area, you know, and then to Samaria, which is really can become uncomfortable for folks because those folks are different out there. Those folks don't believe the same way we believe. And then even to the ends of the earth, to the farthest reaches of earth, you shall be witnesses. It's the word of God. It's the word that we speak of when we see it right here in Scripture and when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and when others speak into our lives like we talked about last week. And it moves from just my inward problems and struggle to the outward look of that person that God might be asking me to go to, or to that family, or to that community, or to that state, or to that nation. That God invites us when he speaks to us to be a part. To be a part of the ever-expanding kingdom in your life and in the lives of others. Please don't let hearing God stop as it relates to your problems and to your struggles. That's where it becomes selfish. That's where it becomes an idol in our lives. That I got to be comfortable. I've got to have it all so that God is blessing me. Listen, if we get to that place and we don't move on, it becomes an idol. It becomes more important to what's on God's heart. Because we're living what's more important in our heart. My personal health, my personal finances, my personal well-being, my emotional health. All those things can get so tied up. And before you know it, we walk through months and even years of struggling because somehow I just don't feel like God's met the need. And he's spoken to me, but I'm just still in the same place that I was a year ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago. Listen, when I want to hear God, I don't want to just hear about what, hear it in context of what's going on in my life. I want to hear about this assignment, that what God's doing in other people's lives. What does that hearing look like? What does that call look like? Because when you look at the scripture call, the word call simply means it's an invitation. There's thoughts of invitation. When God calls you to salvation, who's he calling you to? Himself. When God calls you to a person or to a ministry, what is he calling you? He's calling you to the kingdom expansion into who he is. And I don't want us to miss it, even though so often it's right there in front of our eyes and right in front of our faces here at Cottonwood. But what does that look like? Turn to Isaiah chapter 6, if you would. Isaiah chapter 6. There's three words that I want us to look at this morning. And then we got some other things that are going on throughout the world that we've been invited to that we want to talk to you a little bit about and ask you to be praying about. Here's the first thought. Here's a word. Here's a whisper that Isaiah is hearing. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. And seraphim stood above him, each having six wings, which two covered his face and two covered his feet. And with two he flew and called out to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Listen to this thought here. Oh, he's in the presence of God and angels are singing holy and holy, 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 holy. And we're looking for the warm fuzzy. Isn't that grand? Isn't that great? We're in the presence of Almighty God. And it is great. It is wonderful. But only after a proper response. And do you know what his response is? His response is, "Woe is me! Woe is me! I'm ruined! I'm ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You know, there's often times when I'm in a devotion and I sense the holiness of God and I sense the warmth of God and I sense the presence of God. And I feel good about it. But how many times have we been in the presence of God and we realize that how holy and how great and how awesome he is and how insignificant we are. Did not Peter feel that way in the boat when he realized that Jesus, the Son of God, was in the boat full of fish? And the Bible says when he really saw, what did he do? He fell to his knees with amazement. And what did he say? He said, "Depart from me, O Lord, because I'm sinful. I've got things in my life, and you're so holy and so pure and so perfect. And I'm imperfect. I'm a man of unclean lips. I say things that are stupid. I say things that are unhealthy. I say things that come out of my mouth that destroy, not build up, that curse and not bless. I'm a man of unclean lips. As a matter of fact, I live among a people with unclean lips." You know, Jesus said this. He said, "You know, it's not what goes into you that defiles you. It's what goes out of the mouth that defiles." And I think that's where he's at. And I think it's a proper response, an initial response to the holiness of God. But I want you to notice what God does. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs." Verse 7, "And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips.'" Now watch. "And your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Amen. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? That sounds like the gospel. That sounds like the blood. That sounds like when we are without Christ, and we see his presence and his holiness, and we're undone, and we give our lives to him, and we confess our sin, and he comes. What does he do? He forgives us our sins and cleanses us from the unrighteousness. But it's not just so that you can feel good. It's not just that you can feel good about what God just did. No. It's about moving on, just like Isaiah would move on, because this is what God says. "Then I heard the voice," verse 8, "the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Holiness of God meets an unholy man. That unholy man confesses his sin, confesses the holiness of God. He is undone. This holy God comes and cleanses him and purifies him. And then what does he do? He commissions him. He asks the question, "Who will go for us?" Can you imagine hearing that? Who will go for us? It's this great invitation of God. Who will go for us? The Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's the invitation that we all need to be hearing. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the missionary. It's for all of us. "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who will be our representative? Who will be our ambassador? Who will walk in the ministry of reconciliation for us? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "It's me. It's me. I want to go. Here am I. Send me." Isn't that interesting how God totally transformed him in that moment from a man that was on his knees saying, "Depart from me. Oh, you're holy. I'm undone." And God has cleansed him and has done such a work in him that he's got such the confidence to say, now, 10 minutes later, if that much later, "I'm your guy. I'm your gal. We're your family. We're the church. Send us. Send us. Send me to that neighbor who is struggling and hurting. Send me to that hospital to visit. Send me to that person who's on his last leg, who's on his last breath, and needs to know the gospel. Send me. Here am I. Send me. I may not feel equipped. I may not feel like I'm trained. I may not feel like I have anything to offer. But listen, when God says, "Whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? Who will go for us?" Would you just come to this place? Would you come to this place right now and to say, "Oh God, I want to be like this prophet Isaiah," so that when he says for me to come, when he says, "Whom shall I send?" and I know he's talking to me. Have you ever felt that way? Preacher preaches. You walk out, "Man, he's been preaching straight to me. I've had that side. You've been reading my mail." And I said, "No, I talked to your wife a couple weeks ago." No, my kid. I talked to your husband a couple of weeks ago. But you feel that way, don't you? That's the personal. This is what we're talking about when we talk about not just the transcendent God, but this immanent God who's right here. He speaks to me as if he's speaking a word that everybody else around me is not getting. It's just me. That's the beauty of relationship with God. It's the beauty of that. Who will go for me to that addict? Who will go across the street to plug into the neighbor? Who will go for me and speak words of life in that nursing home, that hospital room, that office? Who will go for me and be so available? And that's really it. It's to be available and willing. But it's the whisper of God that invites you to the grand scheme of what the gospel does. And that transforms lives. It transforms marriages. It transforms families. It transforms communities. It transforms nations. Whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Well, what do you mean, God? I mean, it was just like Abram. God meets Abram and said, hey, I want you to follow me. I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. You may not know where you're going. You may not know where you're doing this week, but you're just willing and available. Available and willing to hear the voice of God and that says, here are we, send us. Send us to that broken couple. Send us to that broken man. Send us to that broken family. Send us to that orphan. Send us to that widow. Send us to that student that is just struggling. Here am I. Send me. I'm willing and I'm available. Let me ask you, are we hearing that today? Oh, we've heard that God's with us. And we've heard, like last week, it's going to be okay. Listen, we need to hear these things. We need to be encouraged. But folks, all that is about just equipping us and getting us healthy to move to the next levels of invitation. Tonight you're going to be hearing about injustice, racial inequality. You're going to be hearing about the whole thought of mission. And what is my part in it, at home and abroad? God speaks. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? I want to pray right now. It's not the end of it, because we've got some more things. But I just want to pray for you. Can I do that right now? Everybody bow with me. Lord, I pray right now for this portion. Oh, we want to see you. We talk about that. We want to see you. We want to hear you. We want to be a part. But oh God, you are holy. You are holy, and without you, we're unclean. And we confess that, how sinful we can be. Now we can move to places that we don't need to be. And some of the things we say and some of the things we speak, oh God, but you're holy. And you've taken the firebrand and you have touched our lips. And instead of unclean things coming out of our lives, clean things come out of our lives. Grace, mercy, encouragement, blessing comes out. And oh God, I pray that for everyone here today so that none of us can say we're disqualified. But all of us can say, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Wherever that is, whenever, whatever, we are willing and available. God, I pray right now. I pray right now just throughout this building. And then, Father, for those who might be hearing it right now on radio or DVD, that we would say, yes, here am I, send me. I pray for that, the heart of our church, the heart of every person here. Here am I, send me. Who will go for us? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Second word this morning. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Great passage of scripture. Paul is on a missionary journey. I mean, he's looking for places to go. His eyes are wide open. He's wanting to help. He's wanting to share. He's been commissioned. He's been called. And they're going through all these places in Asia Minor. And in chapter 16, verse 6, watch this. Acts 16, 6. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Isn't that interesting? Okay, don't go to Asia. Talk about hearing the word, right? Hearing God. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. isn't that great? God says to Isaiah, who's going to go for us? Who am I going to send? That's God. And then we move to the need. Your need. Our need, those who have never heard need. And that Macedonia call, that's what we call it, the Macedonia call. Paul is trying to get into places and the Spirit says, nope, has a vision. He sees this man and he's man saying, please, come over and help us. The Bible says he's appealing to him in the vision. Please come over and help us. Oh, to have ears like that. Oh, to have eyes like that. To see in such a way that we don't need that person to call up and say, come over and help us. We just know the need. And God prompts us. And their need says, come over and help us. Come over and help me. And so on this missionary journey, they conclude, when he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God called us to preach the gospel to them. And so they put out to sea from Troas. We ran straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And you know what happens at Philippi, right? Lydia comes to Christ. Households of women come to Christ. The Philippian jailer comes to Christ. And the church is birthed in Macedonia. Because they'd heard the call, who will go for us? Here are we, send us. And they heard the need, they saw the need, the vision. Come over and help us. Now, I want to say this, very important. I believe that there's many of us in here, many that of you that I know, you know exactly what I've talked about, and you said yes to him. You've never stepped on a plane, but you've gone across the pasture. You've gone across the street. You've gone across the border. You took $20 over Christmas, and you brought it to somebody who needed help. Come over and help us. It's the Macedonia call. Come over and help us. Whom shall I send? Here am I, send me. Come over and help us. And what does the Bible say? Immediately they go. Immediately. God, who will go for us? Man, come over and help us. It's the heartbeat. It's the heartbeat of God. It's the invitation of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. We move from a place of hearing God and God speaking to our hearts, what's on our name, and it becomes comfortable. And all of a sudden, he comes and he starts prodding and he starts speaking and he's saying, this is the things that I'm calling you to. I've gifted you for it and I'm calling you to it. And here's the thought. And immediately, we must set our faces. Immediately, we must set our faces. In 1998, I met this man right here, Mike Stroop. November 98. First Baptist Woodway near Waco. It's in a pastor group. There's a group of pastors. And First Baptist Woodway, who Mike Toby was a pastor, who was our youth director when I was 10 years old, invited me to this meeting because they had just adopted the Turks and the Berbers, Middle East. And he was wanting me to go and lead you to Turkey. And I thought, I ain't going to no Turkey. I said that. I'm just going to Woodway because my friend invited me. I had no idea, no thought, no vision. What we did at missions here is we gave it to somebody else to do what they needed to do, and they did what they did, and we felt good about it. That's how I was taught. That's how I was taught. And I had this conversation with Mike Stroop. His hair wasn't as gray, and neither was mine. That's 98. And so he came in January. The first weekends in January, it was cold. And he spoke to us about pursuing the glory of God to the ends of the earth. And you know, through the whole weekend, what we were convicted with was that there was a world out there with how many billion people that had no opportunity to hear the invitations from God. No opportunity. Not one opportunity. And the challenge to us was, would we pursue the glory of God to the ends of the earth? And would there somehow be a people group that have never heard, a people group with Cottonwood's name on it? Our name on it. And somehow, by God's grace and God's leadership, that evening we, as a group body, God spoke and we said yes. We said, here are we, send us, send this church. And it was a holy, sacred moment. Mike, could you come up with the microphone? And I want to just ask you a couple of things because it's real, I think it's really, really important about the call of God. You know, Mike, you were called to, you came to Christ when, how old were you?
I was 9 years of age.
In the backseat of a Rambler station wagon, my mother led me to faith in Christ.
Okay, and so when was it when God began to deal with you about some of the things we're talking about?
Well, we were always in church, and so I remember a Sunday evening when I was 13, I was sitting in the back with my friends, and I heard God speak to me. And I didn't know what that was about. I didn't know what it was, but I heard my pastor saying, those who feel called, come forward. And so I went forward, and I spoke with my pastor, and he knew that I loved to sing. So he stood me up in front of everybody and said, Mike is coming forward today to be a minister of music. Did you know that?
No, I never heard that one. That's great.
Yeah, so he stood me up, and that day you had to have a special call. And so they had to put a name on it that I was going to be a minister of music. It was two summers later that I was working in Minnesota with my brother, and we were pastoring and singing and this and that. I was in a little church in St. Paul, and that morning I had preached in the service, and that night I was in the service again, and I felt this pounding in my chest, and I felt like God was calling me again. And so I went forward, and I said, Brother Clifford, the pastor was Clifford Longinot. I said, Brother Clifford, I think God's calling me to preach. And he said, right now? And I said, no, sir, to be a preacher. And so he stood me up in front of everybody and said, Mike's come forward to be a preacher. And then that summer later, I went to New Mexico to work at Glorieta in day camps. And I remember I was up in the balcony listening to a man speak by the name of Baker James Coffin. And as I stood there in that balcony, he was preaching about the world and the need of the world. And my heart started pounding again. And I told God, I'm not going to go forward again. But whatever you want from me, I give that to you. Mm. And that's my call, Mike. Mm.
Good.
That's what put us in Sri Lanka. That's what took me. And that's what I still called my call today, is that I said yes to God when he was speaking to me.
Right, right. And so you went to Sri Lanka. Right, and how long were you there?
We went when we were 25. We were there off and on about 8 years.
Okay, so that was your first assignment.
Right.
Well, tell us about your second assignment. What was your second assignment from God?
Well, we then moved to, where did we go next? Oh, we went to Germany, and we had come home. I worked at the mission board for a couple of years training missionaries, and then when we could go back, we'd go back someplace where we had good medical care for our daughter, and so we went to Germany and worked with Turks and Kurds in Germany, as well as Iraq and Syria. And so we did that for about 3 years. And then we moved to London, and we were in London for 5 years. After that, then we moved to Hong Kong for 3 years.
And what were you doing in Hong Kong?
Hong Kong, we were working with people on that side of the world who were like the Schmidts and others that were, we were supervisors.
Okay.
And so I was approving budgets and helping people get into places and helping them to discern what they they need to be doing in those places.
Okay. So you were with this huge organization, and you had, which was the IMB, and International Mission Board, and you had all these young couples, and you had singles, and you had retirees coming through, literally having experienced some of the same things that you'd experienced. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I think what I would tell, what I heard from people was that they came to a point in their life where they heard something and they had to either say no to God or say yes to this thing that God was asking them to do.
Okay.
And so, but you know what I heard? Now, there's a lot of confusion about call. And most of those people, they would go back, maybe talk maybe about a service where they went forward, but they had to go back that I'm called to Jesus. And to being called to Jesus meant that I had to do this.
That's great.
And I think more and more we need to help people just realize, yeah, we can talk about special call and commissioning, but we need to talk about that this is about our call to Jesus.
Yeah.
And we say yes to him, then we need to be listening to what that means and how that plays out. I'm no longer in Sri Lanka. I'm now doing something else, but that's still about my call to Jesus.
Yeah. And so you left the board and you were trying to engage churches to the world, right? And so, and we invited you that day, and you came. Tell us just real briefly. I know we've shared this in recent days, but go on and just say it. Just speak to it one more time.
About what? What we did?
But when you showed up.
Well, Jeff Cole and I pulled up in front of the little church there, and I told Jeff, nothing's going to happen here today. Just a bunch of blue-haired ladies and some old people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we walked in and God did something. It was a holy, as you said, a holy moment where I think what God had been doing in this congregation and how God had been speaking collided with what we had to say. And it was like a chemistry that exploded.
Yeah.
And of course, we were living in Arlington. And you know, Mike, we were driving down here every weekend because we didn't want to miss this explosion.
Yeah.
We wanted to be a part of what God was doing.
Yeah.
And so then we eventually moved down here to be a part of it.
Yeah.
It was truly something that God did. And I think it's because people were willing and ready to say yes.
Yeah.
And that's the gist of it. Not that we understand where it is or where we're going or that we have it figured out or that we can do it, but we merely say, I hear you and I say yes.
Yes, good. Come over and help us. Come over and help us. We have opportunities for us to do that as a body. And Craig's going to talk to you about that real briefly.
I remember back in those years when God first invited us to go and serve. And the first thought on my mind is, what do I have to offer in a foreign country? And there's a story in Mark chapter 12, in the end of that chapter of Mark 12, about a widow woman who comes to the treasury. And Jesus is sitting there at the treasury and he's watching as people put money in to the offering plate. And he's watching rich people put lots and lots of money in. And then this widow comes and she drops just a couple of mites, really literally nothing, into the plate. And it so moves Jesus that he calls his disciples to him and says, look, I want you to see this. This is important. This woman gave more than anybody else in here because she gave everything that she had. And from that story, I realized that it's not about what I have to give. It's about how God can use me, how God can use you. I want you to take that thought of what do I have to offer out of your mind, because really none of us have much to offer, but God can use us to do great things. God wants to use you to do great things. Some of you might want to go and serve long term. Some of you, I know I've talked to many of you, who have a sense that God's calling you to something different, calling you to maybe a cross-cultural ministry, inviting you. And if that's something that's on your heart, don't turn away from it. Don't let it go. Don't leave here today and convince yourself that, nah, that's not what it is, or next time, next year. Don't do that. Don't leave here today if God's been speaking to you about serving without doing something about it. The invitation is there. The invitation is out there. And I'll connect with you. I'll speak with you. We'll get together and we'll just see what God's doing. But I want you to know that the invitation is there. The invitation and the need. So, thanks.
You know, we hear God say, who will go for us? We see the Macedonian call. Come over and help us. And remember, it's not just the farthest place. It's all the places that God's called you to. It's all the places. Your family, your marriage, your neighbors, the people you work with. Please hear that today. Please hear that. There's a third word, and we're going to close with this, and it's, and you don't need to turn there, but it's found in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. And it just says this: God says to the church, set apart for me, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have for them. Who will go for us? Here am I, send me, be available, come over and help us, get up and immediately go help, right? Third, set apart.